Psalm 119, 57 to 64. I want you guys to follow along as I read from it. Psalm 119, 57 to 64. It's the Hebrew letter Het. Yahweh is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. I have sought to please your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. I thought upon my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. I hastened and did not delay to keep your commandments. The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law. At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. The earth, O Yahweh, is full of your loving kindness. Teach me your statutes. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses is 120 years old. And for Moses' disobedience to God by striking the rock for water instead of speaking to the rock, he's prohibited from entering the promised land. And Yahweh God tells Moses that the time for him to die is near. Before he dies, God commands Moses to write a song and to teach it to the people of Israel so that they will remember it was because of their wickedness, it was because of their sin that God brought calamity upon them. And it says in verse 17 of Deuteronomy 31 that in the day of their calamity, they will cry out, "Is it not because our God is not among us that these evils have found us?" On today's passage, Psalm 119, 57 to 64, the psalmist begins and ends these eight verses, 57 to 64, with the truth that God is with the righteous, regardless of location. And Moses' song testified to the people's wickedness against God and God's resulting judgment against them. However, the psalmist's song that we read right here testifies to his obedience before God and God's resulting blessing. In Psalm 119, 57 to 64, there are two guarantees for those who obey the word of God. There are two guarantees for those who obey the word of God. Number one, the righteous inherit God. Verses 57 to 60. The righteous inherit God. Verses 57 to 60. And number two, the wicked do not inherit the righteous. Number two, the wicked do not inherit the righteous. Verses 61 to 64. Number one, the righteous inherit God. Verses 57 to 60. And number two, the wicked do not inherit the righteous. 61 to 64. And these two guarantees should drive you to love God more deeply by obeying his word out of a holy fear for him. These two guarantees should drive you to obey God, to love God more deeply by obeying his word out of this holy fear for God. Start with our first point. Number one, the righteous inherit God. Verses 57. Verse 57, Yahweh is my portion. I have promised to keep your words. Now in Genesis 12, 1 to 3, God makes a covenant with Abraham, where God promises Abraham land, descendants, and a coming redemption. Now Abraham has a son with his wife Sarah in their old age. And the name of their son is Isaac. Isaac's wife, Rebekah, gave birth to twins, Jacob and Esau. And from Jacob, whom God renamed Israel, he has 12 sons. And these 12 sons, and from these 12 sons, come the tribes of Israel. Now these tribes were to be given a portion of land in the promised land. However, one tribe was not to be given any part of the land. And this tribe was the tribe of Levi. And this was in fulfillment of Jacob's dying words in Genesis 49:7, that the Levites would be scattered abroad. And while the Levites had no portion of land to call their own, they were set aside by God to serve in God's house, to serve in the tabernacle. Some served as priests, while others cared for the tabernacle. And in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 8 to 9, it says, Yahweh set apart the tribe of Levi, number one, to carry the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh. Number two, to stand before Yahweh to minister for him. And number three, to bless in his name to this day. And it says, therefore, Levi does not have a portion or inheritance with his brothers. Yahweh is his inheritance. God was the Levites' inheritance. In fact, God took care of the Levites by blessing them with the gifts that the other 11 tribes gave to God. This included all the food from the offerings, as well as the best of the fresh oil, wine, grain, ripe fruits, and every devoted thing. The people of Israel gave to God the best of their first fruits, which God then gave to the Levites to care for them. Now, the Levites' portion in the land was God. And maybe, starting off right here, Yahweh is my portion in verse 57, maybe the psalmist is indicating his Levitical origin, his birth, that he is a Levite, since he states, Yahweh is my portion. And I think there is strong evidence that Ezra, who was a Levitical priest, is the author of Psalm 119. But I think that there is a deeper significance to the psalmist saying, Yahweh is my portion. I want you to consider this, all right? All the Jews had their land stripped from them when they went into exile. In fact, they were like the Levites. They did not have any portion or inheritance of land. They were in exile. And in their exile, the only inheritance, the only portion they could claim was their God. But what greater inheritance could a man receive than that of God himself? Going back in the Song of Moses, Moses sings in Deuteronomy 32:9, for Yahweh's portion is his people. This means that God's inheritance, God's portion is Israel. Just like the psalmist's inheritance is God. God receives his people, and his people receive God. And the psalmist is simply responding to God by saying in verse 57, as I am yours, so you are mine. God, as I am your portion, your inheritance, so you are my portion, you are my inheritance. And the psalmist is blessed with this wonderful inheritance, God himself. This inheritance is much greater than land. Regardless of where the psalmist is, whether he's in exile or captivity, he is with his God. At the very end, it says, the earth is full of God's loving kindness. He is with God. Now, in Deuteronomy 18, 1-2, the Levitical priests were promised by God that he is their inheritance. He is their portion. And as God had made this promise to them, so also does the psalmist remind God of his promise to God. In verse 57, the psalmist says, I have promised to keep your words. The psalmist's greatest blessing is receiving God as his portion. And these next few verses in Psalm 119 point back to the great blessing that God gives Aaron. God gives Aaron, the high priest, to speak over the children of Israel in Numbers 6:22-27. On Numbers 6:22-27, in that passage, God gives the priest of Israel a blessing to pour out upon his people. And as you'll see in Psalm 119, the psalmist prays his response to this blessing from long ago. So I want you guys to turn in your Bibles to Numbers 6:22-27. Numbers 6:22-27. Now, in Numbers 6, verses 22 to 27, it says this. Then Yahweh spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, thus you shall bless the sons of Israel. You shall say to them, Yahweh bless you and keep you. Yahweh make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Yahweh lift up his face on you and give you peace. So they shall invoke my name on the sons of Israel, and I then will bless them. Now, as you see in verse 23 of number 6, this is a blessing that Aaron and his sons were to say to the people of Israel. Now, who were Aaron and his sons? Well, they were Levitical priests. So this right here is a priestly blessing. And in Psalm 119:57, the psalmist's opening claim infers his Levitical priestly origin. Yahweh is my portion. Now, if you look down at Numbers 6:24, it says, Yahweh bless you and keep you. In Psalm 119:57b, the psalmist responds by saying, I have promised to keep your word. As Yahweh promised to keep the sons of Israel, the psalmist promises to keep the words of Yahweh. Notice what's happening right here. Is the psalmist is responding to the Aaronic blessing, to the high priestly blessing. And he's praying his response to God. Verse 57b, he says, I have promised to keep your words. What does it say in number 624? Yahweh bless you and keep you. Okay? I go on. This is in number 625a. Yahweh make his face shine on you. All right, look down in Psalm 119. Psalm 119:58a. The psalmist responds by saying, I have sought to please your face with all my heart. Now, the Hebrew word for sought here means to grow weak, tired, fall sick, be ill, feel pain. And the psalmist strives to please God, making his face to shine on him to the point of him growing weak, tired, and even to the point of sickness. That is how much he is seeking and pursuing after God. Do we pursue after God to that extent? Do we pursue God even to our weakness? Do we pursue God fully and solely after him and him alone? Now look down at number 625b. God ends by stating, and be gracious to you. Go back to Psalm 119:58. Psalm 119:58b. The psalmist proclaims, what? Be gracious to me according to your word. The psalmist understands his unworthiness of receiving God's blessing. But he prays the blessing back to God. He prays to God, be gracious to me. And he is seeking God's blessing. Verse 59, go ahead and look at verse 59 of Psalm 119. It says this, I thought upon my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies. The psalmist thought upon, he plans his ways, where he is going to walk. He turned his feet to walk on paths that obey the word of God. He turned his feet to the testimonies of God. Now, what is a testimony? Well, consider the word to testify. The word testify. To testify, the verb, is to bear witness. To bear witness of something that happened. And when the psalmist states that he turned his feet to God's testimonies, he is saying that he is a witness. He is testifying of the covenant God made with Israel and will obey the terms of that covenant. He will not walk in disobedience to what God has commanded them. And in Deuteronomy 30, God made a covenant with Israel. And this covenant is called the Land Covenant. And in this covenant, God promises that if the children of Israel turn from their sin and turn back to God, he will return them from their captivity to the land he promised them and will return his compassion on them. The psalmist turns from his sin and to God by obeying the law of God. First, Moses speaks of this future covenant to Israel in Deuteronomy 31 to 14. Moses states in verses 15 to 16, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity, and death and calamity. And that I am commanding you today to love Yahweh your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that you may live and multiply, and that Yahweh your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it." What Moses does here is, as Moses calls the children of Israel to obey God's law so that they may not be scattered abroad among the nations. However, as many of you probably know, they end up breaking the law of God. The children of Israel end up breaking the law of God, and for that, they are scattered. And many centuries later, the psalmist who wrote Psalm 119 was scattered as well. He was in exile. He was in captivity. But the psalmist remembered the word of God. And he knew that when the people repented, when the people turned from their sin, God would return them from their captivity and return his compassion upon them. The psalmist follows Moses' command from centuries ago to the children of Israel. In Deuteronomy 31:16, Moses states, "I am commanding you today to love Yahweh your God, to walk in his ways." If you look at Psalm 119:59, the psalmist says, "I thought upon my ways and turned my feet to your testimonies." The psalmist plans his ways. "I thought upon my ways." Why? To walk in God's ways. "I turned my feet to your testimonies." Once again, the psalmist plans his ways. "I thought upon my ways." To walk in God's ways. "I turned my feet to your testimonies." And Moses continues on in Deuteronomy 31:16 by saying, "And to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments." And what do you do when you look at Psalm 119:60? This is where the psalmist proclaims, "I hastened and did not delay to" what? "To keep your commandments." What is the psalmist pointing back to here? To walk in God's way, to keep God's commandments. I want you guys to consider this. If the children of Israel had listened to the words of Moses, as the psalmist did centuries later, they would have lived and multiplied, and Yahweh would have blessed them in the land that they were entering. However, they did not listen. And as a result, they surely perished. In verse 19 of Deuteronomy 30, Moses said this to the children of Israel, "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse." Heaven and earth would serve as a testimony to God's covenant with them. And this brings us to our second point. The wicked do not inherit the righteous. The wicked do not inherit the righteous. Verses 61 to 64. Verse 61, "The cords of the wicked have encircled me, but I have not forgotten your law." The psalmist is saying that he is in the hold of the wicked. He is surrounded by them. And I think this is in reference to the psalmist being exiled in a foreign land. In fact, the Hebrew word for cords here is the same one that's used in the Song of Moses. In Deuteronomy 32:9, where Moses says, "For Yahweh's portion is his people, Jacob is the allotment of his inheritance." Allotment here, the word allotment here, is the same Hebrew word for cords in Psalm 119:61. And what the psalmist is doing is the psalmist is proclaiming that he is in the midst of a land that is not his own. He's in a land with a people that hate the law of God. And in the very next verse in Deuteronomy 32:10, Moses sings, "He, Yahweh, found him, the people of Israel, in a desert land and in the howling waste of a wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He guarded him as the pupil of his eye. God's portion, God's inheritance is his people. God's cords encircled his people. However, what the psalmist is saying here is that he is encircled by the wicked in a foreign land. And yet, in spite of this, the psalmist proclaims, "But I have not forgotten your law." He knows he is God's inheritance, even though he is in the land of the wicked. He is not inherited by the wicked. He knows that God is his inheritance. The Song of Moses was to serve as a remembrance to the people of Israel. So why calamity befell them in their captivity. In Deuteronomy 31:21, Yahweh told Moses, "Then it will be when many evils and troubles have found them that this song will answer them as a witness, as a testimony, for it shall not be forgotten from the mouths of their seed." The people of Israel would remember this song when they were in captivity. If only they had not forgotten the law, as the psalmist says here. Verse 62, "At midnight I shall rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments." Psalm 119:62. At midnight. The psalmist had not forgotten the law of God. In fact, in verse 62, he promises to give thanks to God at midnight. In Hebrew, the word midnight is used very few times in the Old Testament. The first time it's mentioned is actually in Exodus 11:4, where God states that at midnight, he's going to kill all the firstborn in Egypt who have not painted the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. And the psalmist remembers that that night was the Passover, where God passed over their houses and preserved the lives of their firstborn. However, on that same night, God exacted judgment on those whose houses were not covered by the blood of the Lamb. And the psalmist gives thanks to God for his righteous judgments. The wicked, whose cords have encircled him, will be judged by God. And the psalmist prays that God will exact justice on them, as he did on the Egyptians at midnight during the Passover. And it was on that night, it was on the night of the Passover, that the Israelites left their captivity because of God's righteous judgments on the wicked Egyptians. The psalmist prays that it will be free from this captivity of the wicked by God's good judgments. Consider that. Be free from captivity of the wicked by the good judgments. Now, thinking back to the Passover, I want you to consider what the Passover is a picture of. The people that were inside the houses where the blood of the Lamb covered the doorposts of the house were safe from death. But those whose houses were not covered were under God's judgment, and all the firstborn in that house would die. And then we look to the cross, and we see the cross of Christ. And the question is, are you covered by the blood of the Lamb? Are you covered by the blood of Christ? Because one day, you will die. 10 out of 10 people die. That means you're not escaping it. And one day you will face a holy God. You are a sinner. You have broken God's law through and through. You have lied. You have stolen. You have thought impure thoughts. You have coveted after that which is your neighbor's. You have blasphemed the name of God. You have hated your brothers in your hearts. You have not loved God as you should. And you stand justly condemned before a holy God. And you are deserving of God's wrath. You are deserving of God's punishment. And when God sees you, you are going to be declared guilty, because you have broken his law through and through. But God made a way. I want you guys to consider it like this. If I go into a court of law, I stand before the judge, I've broken the speed limit. The judge is going to see me for the crime that I've done. The police clock me at going 50 miles on over in a school zone. The judge is going to look at me. He says, "You deserve jail time for this. You deserve punishment for this." And right as I'm about to be hauled off, "But what I have done is wrong," the judge's very own son steps in. And what he does is he says, "I have paid his fine. I've paid it in full." I want you guys to consider what Jesus said on the cross. When Jesus said, "It is finished," what Jesus was saying is, "It has been paid." The punishment that sinners deserve for sinning against the holy God has been paid. And the question then is, what must you do to be saved? You must repent and believe. When the Philippian jailer asked Paul, the Philippian jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" And the Apostle Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Place your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you will be saved." This is more serious than a heart attack, guys. Because when you look at the Passover, God killed all of the firstborn that did not have the blood of the Lamb over the doorposts. And so it is the blood of the Lamb over the doorposts of your heart. Verse 63, Psalm 119. "I am a companion of all those who fear you, and of those who keep your precepts." The psalmist does not fellowship with the wicked, even though he is caught within their cords. He is a companion of God-fearers, with those who keep the precepts of God. And these precepts are in reference to God's covenant. The psalmist keeps the covenant of God by obeying his law. And the last and final verse, verse 64, "The earth, O Yahweh, is full of your loving kindness. Teach me your statutes." Well, the psalmist has no land to call home. He recognizes that the earth, which Yahweh God created, is full of his loving kindness, his covenantal love. The psalmist is exiled from the promised land, but he is not exiled from the covenantal love of God. Everywhere he turns his feet, he witnesses the loving kindness of God on display. Yahweh is the psalmist's portion, his inheritance. He's not inherited by the wicked, even though he is caught in the land. The psalmist knows that the earth is full of God's covenantal love. Wherever he is on the earth, he knows that God's loving kindness is there. In Deuteronomy 30:11-14, after Moses speaks of the land covenant, he states, "For this commandment which I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you, nor is it far from you. It is not in heaven that you say, 'Who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us and make us hear it that we may do it?' Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will cross the sea for us and get it for us and make us hear it that we may do it?' But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it." So the earth is full of God's covenantal love, God's loving kindness. The psalmist does not need to reach to the heavens or cross the sea to obey. Since the earth is full of God's covenantal love, the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And as the psalmist says at the beginning of this section in verses 57b to 58a, "I promise to keep your words." Promise to keep your words with what? His mouth. "I sought your favor with all my heart." With what? His heart. While the psalmist may be awaiting his return from captivity, he knew that wherever he was, his great inheritance was there. Yahweh was there. And the psalmist ends verse 64 by stating, "Teach me your statutes." He pleads with God to teach him his word. The word is very near him, that he may do it. And unlike being in the cords of the wicked, he does not forget God's law. He does not forget God's law because he knows that the earth is full of God's loving kindness, and because God will teach him his statutes. The psalmist knows that God is his portion. He has promised to keep God's words, and he can only keep God's words if what? If God teaches them his statutes. So in closing, is it your prayer that God teaches you his word? Have you tasted God's loving kindness and salvation? And if so, is it your desire to be taught by God through the study of his word? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word does not return null or void. We thank you, Father, that whenever your word is preached, whenever the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, that things happen, that you are doing your work. So, Father, I pray that you will do your work in the hearts of these young men and these young women here tonight. I pray that you will convict them of their sin, that they will see their complete and utter wickedness before you, and that they will turn to Christ. And, Father, for those that are in Christ, I pray, Father, that they will grow in their love for you. I pray, Father, that it will be their heart's prayer, Lord, teach me your statutes. We ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.